by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist, environmental consultant. I love to help people with their backyards, their front yards, their side yards, everything you need to know to grow in Florida. And this is a hard time of the year. This is summertime. The weather in May, this is kind of interesting. In May, it's a dry time of the year. Spring is dry for us. You know, April showers don't bring May flowers here in Florida. It's exact opposite. But in May, even with the small amount of rain that we're supposed to get, that we did not have rain the last 2 weeks of the month. And this is quite unusual. Usually we get, a little bit of relief or rain once a week or so, every 7 days or so. But we went exactly almost 2 weeks without rain. But we met our total for the month because we got so much rain during the first 2 weeks of May. So usually it's about 2.5 inches. And we met that goal the very first 2 weeks of May, but the last 2 weeks have been brutal. Our yards are looking dry. You know, if you don't have an irrigation sprinkler system, then they're wilting. They're just looking dry, and you're out there hand watering almost every day. But this week is going to change. We're going to have rain 30 to 50% every day this week throughout Florida. We have a little tropical storm that's forming over on the Gulf of Mexico. That's not going to affect us at all. It's going to affect Texas and Louisiana, possibly, but it's not going to affect Florida. But the heat index, 100 degrees this week, every day this week. So, with the thunderstorms, that'll cool us off. And, we appreciate our storms, our rainfall during the summertime, because that's what replenishes the aquifer. But I'm going to just say this practically every week through the summertime, because we have so many new residents moving in and so many visitors here to Florida, that you need to know that when you're outside, you need to drink water. You know, our bodies can composed of like 65% water, and most of it is located within our cells. So when we drink water, we're hydrated, and that regulates our temperature. It helps our kidneys function. It aids in weight loss by increasing fullness, and you don't want as many sugary drinks, but it also lubricates our joints and muscles. And then you also avoid kidney stones. So you need to drink a lot of water, especially if you're outside visiting the attractions, working outdoors in your garden, mowing the lawn, or even just walking and exercising. So we have almost 2.6 million sweat glands that release fluids when we perspire. So we need to replenish that fluid loss. So if you're outside, you want to drink at least 2 cups of water before you go outside. 2 cups, that means your body's going to be able to absorb that, and you're going to be full. All right. And so then 1 hour beforehand, and the second cup you want to take a half an hour before. And then you want to make sure that you're drinking a half a cup of water every 15 minutes. So I want my Tony to hear that, because he's out working on the roof and he doesn't drink that often. So every 15 minutes, you want to make sure you take small sips. Even if it's tempting to chug, take small sips, and then drink at least another 2 cups or more until you're satisfied. And that's going to be important. You know, if you do that, you're going to, stay hydrated, and you're not going to collapse. You're not going to feel any side effects, because you can get dehydrated very quickly here in Florida. You want to pay attention to the signs of dehydration. All right. So you're going to have a headache, muscle cramps, fatigue, you're not going to urinate as much, you're going to be lightheaded, and your urine is going to be very dark. So you want to make sure that you stay hydrated. Please do in our Florida weather. We appreciate you being here. We love you being outdoors. It's so great to be outdoors. You just want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. All right. And so on my Facebook page today, I posted a vintage postcard. It's called Florida, the Land of Sand. And yes, we do have a lot of sand here in Florida. In fact, the majority of our soils are sandy soils, but they're various shades and different. They're made up of different organic materials, and they also have different porosity where it just percolates differently in some areas. And so what I want to go over right now is what kind of plants can you plant in sand where you don't have to supplement the water with irrigation? Now, here's the caveat. All right, you want to make sure your plants are established before you just base it on rainfall. Okay, that's very important. Your plants have to be established. And for annuals, that may mean you're watering probably every other day, two times a week, with 3 gallon plants, at least two times a week for shrubs and trees until they get established. Now, the smaller the size of the plant, the quicker it's going to establish. And so that's why the University of Florida recommends that we put in smaller plants. That way they're not going to stress out as much. They're going to need less water to get established, and they're going to recover very quickly from the planting process, and they'll grow faster. In fact, a 2-inch caliper tree planted at the same time as a 4-inch caliper tree 5 years later is going to be the same size as that 4-inch caliper tree. Those are Dr. Gilman's studies. And so you want to make sure that you're putting in as small a plant as you can for your, I guess I would say your desires. You want that look. But if you can go with a smaller plant, that's always better. Things grow fast here in Florida. Believe me, if anyone here has a St. Augustine lawn or a Bahia lawn, you have to mow, you know, and you just mowed it and you look out the next day and you go, gosh, I need to mow again. Plants grow quickly here in Florida. But the sandy soils, what kind of plants will grow in sandy soils and thrive? Well, there is a good resource for you. This resource is called the WaterWise Landscape Database. Now, the WaterWise Landscape Database is on the St. Johns River Water Management District's website. And I love this website because this website tells you all the plants that will grow in your yard and thrive no matter where you are in the state of Florida. And I would even dare say go to zones, because the zones 8 go up through Alabama and they go up through Georgia and even parts of South Carolina. So you want to make sure that, or not make sure, but if you're in those zones, you may still want to check it out and figure out, if you can find any plants on this website. So let me just do this. Yeah, let me do this. Go all the way down because my computer sound was on. And I'm playing video games here while I'm talking to you, so Jay is laughing because I'm not playing video games. All right. So this WaterWise Landscape Database, you can Google that. All right. Because the website address is really confusing. But if you will Google WaterWise Landscape Database and even the acronym for St. Johns River Water Management District or Florida, it will come up. Now, what will you find on this site? This site, you will find that you can put in the conditions of your yard. It's a searchable plant database. It's going to help you determine which plants will be more appropriate for your landscape so that you don't have to irrigate and don't have to have a high water bill. So you can either put in the common name or a scientific name of a plant, and then you can research the information on that plant to see if it's suitable for your yard. Or the way I like to use it is to put in the hardiness zone, and for my area and for WLBE in your backyard audience listening, it's 9, zone 9. Now, whether you're A or B depends on whether you're in Ocala or you're in Orlando, or if you're in Daytona Beach or Cedar Key. All right. But what's great about it is they've got a map on there that you can click, and you can just click on your location and it will tell you what zone you're in. And so you can go in then and put in your soil moisture, which could be dry, moist, or wet. And of course, if you've got sandy soils, you're going to put in dry. It's going to put in the, you can put in the pH if you know that, and that's acidic, alkaline, or neutral, or all. You can check all. And you can also put in light range, full sun, partial sun, or shade. Now, shade is considered if you have 5 hours or less of sun, you have full shade. All right, so that's even if you have sand or not sand. Then you can also put in salt tolerance if you're on the beach, coastal areas. You can put in native or non-native, and they're both good for water conservation. And it will bring up every plant, shrub, tree, ground cover, fern that will grow in your yard. It is a great database. That is the St. John's River Water Management Database, the Land of Sand, Florida, Growing in Sand, all the plants, the WaterWise Landscape Database. You can search out all the other types of soils too, mesic soils and hydric soils if you live down by a lake. You're listening to In Your Backyard, Teresa Watkins here with Real Country AM 790 WLBE. Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Row by row. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. Now, in August, and all, well, I should say all the way through August, the Albin Polacek Museum is having a precious pollinator event. Now, this exhibition features the Central Florida Watercolor Society, and it's all about pollinators. Those of you who love pollination and you want to protect all the different types of pollinators we have, the bees and the butterflies, the Albin Polacek Museum is just they're opening up their museum and their gardens for you to walk through and stroll through. So it's a lovely event. It goes through, let me see, it goes through, it's currently now through August 25th, 2019. So it's August 25th. Now, the next event they're going to have is a paint and wine night with fanciful flowers. So you want, if you would like to attend that, you're welcome to. You can get tickets at thepolacek.org, and that's polacek.org, and this is in Winter Park. And then also too, there is a pollination in action event August 10th, which I am going to be leading the walking tour of the Polacek Gardens. So we're going to have a little workshop on pollinators, and then we're going to walk, stroll through, bring your camera. The sculptures are just amazing in this museum, and we're going to see all of the beautiful pollinator plants and the beautiful gardens at the Albin Polacek Museum. So that is August 10th. So you can go to that website, thepolacek.org. You can also get look at it on my Facebook page, and you can sign up for all of the different events. They're even having a watercolor painting workshop called The Joy of Watercolor. So all of these events you can find at the Albin Polacek Museum, and that's polacek.org. All right. With me right now is one of my favorite nurseries. It is Simon Seeds Nursery in Leesburg. With me is Blondine Galbraith, the owner. And good afternoon, Blondine. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm hot.
I know. Well, we're supposed to be getting rain every day. Did you get any relief over the weekend?
Just a few drops, not enough to make a difference.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to get it, I think, this week. I think the rains have started. June 1st, hurricane season, I think the rains have started.
Well, I sure hope so, because we definitely need it here.
We do. Now, speaking of pollinators, you have one of the best places in Central Florida to get pollinator plants.
Yes, we do. We have lots of pollinators, and we also have lots of butterflies right now. We carry, the milk, different types of milkweed. We carry lots of different sages and lots of different types of daisies, which are all great pollinators. We have verbenas, which are great.
Sure.
We have coreopsis.
Oh, yeah. Our state wildflower, it is great.
Yes, gallardias. We do. We carry some of the larval plants as well. We also have pentas, of course, which are great
attractors. Yes.
Yes, and firecracker plants and firebush. We love our butterflies.
That's wonderful. You know, I was at Epcot this last weekend, and it seemed that the milkweed, the giant milkweed, had a number of different types of pollinators on them, everywhere from bees to butterflies. I mean, they just loved it.
Yeah, and we do have the giant milkweed, and it's a very fast grower and has beautiful blooms on it. Right here in Leesburg, I don't see that many insects on it, even though it's right next to the regular milkweed, but maybe they have their preference. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's not lunchtime. So
maybe it's not lunchtime. That's right.
No, I took a couple of, I was able to get a couple of pictures, and I will tell you that butterflies don't sit still for photographs.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's so difficult.
It is. And the white peacock was the best one, but,
yes.
And the Gulf fritillary, but the others, the zebra longwing, would not sit still.
They don't. Yeah, I tried to take pictures of Gulf fritillary on my passion vine the other day because it was a cloud of them, and I wasn't very successful. They wouldn't pose for
there
the
you
pictures.
Go. And so what else can we plant during the summer here? Vegetables. Can we talk about some of the herbs and vegetables you have?
Yes, vegetable plants, right now, peppers and eggplants, as far as plants are concerned, different types of peppers and different types of eggplants, some of the Romas and a few of those
yes.
Sweet 100 tomatoes, but that's about it, really, as far as veggies, other than from seeds, of course, you can do your black eyes, you can do conch peas,
yes.
You can do Christmas limas. You can do okra. Okra, that's great this time of year.
And a great butterfly attractor, too.
Yes. Peanuts are great this time of year. And, of course, we have cover crops for those that, don't want to garden over the summer but just want to put cover crops down.
Yes, keep the weeds down to fix the nitrates, yeah.
Yes, we have iron clay peas and black-eyed peas, and we can even get you some sun hemp if you'd like.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so all those are great. Until we get into middle to late August, it's going to be kind of slowing down as far as gardening is concerned.
Sure.
Herbs do great. We've got bay leaf trees. We've got culantro, aloe plants, different types of basils and thyme and rosemary, and all those do
and they are doing
great.
Fine at the house. They are just even with the heat, the
yes.
index, they are doing fine.
Yeah.
Now I have mine in shade. I mean, they wouldn't do
right.
except for rosemary.
Partial
rosemary
shade,
is
yeah.
a real strong worker in the garden.
Yeah, but they do great other than that. And, of course, we've got shade plants as well. We've got some great-looking coleus. We have
Ooh.
The wizard mix.
That's
which
a nice
is
variety.
All different types of combinations of reds and whites and pinks and all those. We also have impatiens, and we have begonias. And I should mention caladiums, of course.
Of course. Caladiums are a great plant to be planting right now. They really work very well in the
yep,
shade
yep.
to brighten it up. And so also, too, you also have grass seed, which is important to be putting down.
Yeah, this time of year, absolutely. We have the Argentine Bahia, Pensacola Bahia. We have a contractor's mix, which is a combination of Bahia and brown top millet, which is a great product for the folks that have a really not so good looking lawn and they're, you know, they just want to cover up some of the bare spots.
They want it green. They just want it green.
Green. And so, you know, your Bahia obviously is a permanent long grass, and it does come up ultimately. But in the meantime, your brown top millet will come up and give you instant rewards. So,
of course, of course.
Yes.
And that's great.
Centipede seeds also, we do carry those. Sometimes folks have St. Augustine, and as you know, we can't, you know, the seeds of hybrid St. Augustine are obviously not available.
No, it doesn't work. Yeah.
And, you know, centipede is not the same, but yet it does have somewhat similar growing habits. So
sure.
It's a possibility for that.
Well, that's great. And then also, too, you carry all the fertilizers that people will need for the summer for their fruit trees and
yes.
also their flowers.
Uh-huh.
You do. Yeah. You carry
yeah.
that.
We carry the Sunny Land, as you know, for mm-hmm. the, you know, citrus. We have the Bloom Special, palm fertilizer. We carry quite a few of the water soluble fertilizers as well, things like fish emulsion, the Fox Farm Grow Big and Big Bloom fertilizer, which is very popular. All these are actually organic fertilizer. And also we have the, you know, some of the liquid blooming and rooting. We have the Jacks and the Peters and kelp green even for the folks that want to stay really organic. So, yeah, lots of different choices here.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's great. So, Blondie, tell everybody where you're located in downtown Leesburg.
Okay, we're located on Magnolia Street at the corner of Magnolia and First. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 till 5:30, on Saturday from 8 till 1. And you can give us a call at any time at 787-4415.
Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate it, Blondine. All right,
you.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
If you have not been to Simon Seeds for Nursery, it is a great place just to go and stop and walk through. I know you'll find something like a plant, a seed packet, or even, you know, something to amend your soil with there. It is an independent nursery. It is great. She can order plants for you. So if you have something specific you would like, then please give Blondine a call at 352-787-4415. Now, today on Facebook, I posted a beautiful vignette of one of the Living on the Land at the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. It was a mosaic wall, and it has bromeliads in front. And it's just such a great landscape design where so many colors are used. I mean, I don't want you to be afraid of color. So you can go onto Facebook and see this picture, but it's important to know how to mix the colors. And one of my favorite tools is a color wheel. And a color wheel is a great way to mix colors because you can use colors that are all close together on the color wheel. They will match if they're side by side. That's called analogous. And then also, too, if they're directly across from each other on the color wheel, that's called complementary. Well, this mosaic piece uses all sorts of colors, and it works because they have white in it, and then they also have another neutral color, tan, and they mix jewel tones together, all of these burgundies and dark reds and dark blues and aquamarines and purples, but yet they use tan and white and soft yellows that mix with it. So please don't be afraid of color in your garden. You definitely want to check that out and put art in your garden. Put a sculpture. And that's one of the things, if you go to the Alban Polacek Museum, you will see Mr. Polacek's beautiful sculptures. One of them is called The Sower. And it is just a beautiful sculpture of a man sowing seed. And so it's a great place to visit to kind of get some ideas on how to incorporate art into your garden. And no matter if you have a small little apartment balcony garden or if you have a 10-acre estate, incorporating art, whether it is a hardscape, whether it's different types of water features, birdhouses, sculpture, or even, little kitsch, depending on the theme of your garden, then it just adds to the ambiance. Make sure you also sign up for my newsletter. It's called In Your Backyard. You can go to my website, www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. It's at the bottom of the website, In Your Backyard. You can subscribe. I tell you what to do each month in your own back garden, the issues that we're facing, different types of information on turf, on different plants that are on the market, my favorite types of landscapes, and then also some design tips. I'll feature a design tip every month, and insect problems. You can find it all in your backyard on my website, www.she-consulting.com. You have to stay tuned. We have one of my favorite garden authors coming up. Her name is Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf. She's written a new bestseller. I can say it already. It's going to be a bestseller, and it's called Grow in the Dark, Choosing and Caring for Plants in Low Light. Inch by inch. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, environmental consultant, horticulturist, and I have a fantastic interview coming up with one of my favorite garden authors. So houseplants, I think they are just becoming so popular right now. They're everywhere. I see them in all the stores. Even if they don't sell plants, they have houseplants for sale. They're a popular gardening trend right now. And who doesn't love bringing home a plant to spruce up your kitchen, bedroom, or bath? When our daughter Genevieve and Jeff got married, they moved into a 1990s home. And of course, they wanted to decorate it and make it their own. And so as most millennials do, they wanted plants. But the style of architecture here in Florida during the 1990s was one that didn't allow a lot of sunlight into their home at all, which is great for sleeping in, but not so good for growing plants. Well, the solutions have been written by my next guest. With me today is best-selling garden author and communicator Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf, the houseplant guru. Her newest book is also going to be a bestseller. It is exciting. Grow in the Dark, How to Choose and Care for Low-Light Houseplants. Welcome, Lisa. Congratulations on writing another fabulous book to help plant lovers grow plants.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. It's so nice to be here.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're glad to be here. Thank you so much, Ken. Are you on a landline?
I am on a landline.
Okay, there you go. I can hear you now. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So you've been great to come on whenever you've had a wonderful book to promote, and this one is no exception. This is a great book. Tell me, though, what's your background? Where did you come in the plant world? How do you learn everything you know about houseplants?
Well, I came into the plant world by growing up in the country, and my brother and I just, like, you know, wandering through the woods and playing in the barn at Grandma's house and just having fun. And then, you know, Grandma raised houseplants, and my mom had houseplants, so I had houseplants, and I don't know, I just love them.
That's wonderful. Well, you are the guru on it, and so that's great that you're here with us today. Houseplant Guru, Grow in the Dark, Choosing and Caring for Low-Light Plants. It's your third bestseller on houseplants. Now,
it's only my second.
Only your second. Okay.
But my third one is coming out next fall.
Oh, well, then we're just going to have to make a reservation for you to come on again.
So all right.
That's exciting. Are you really plants that don't need a lot of light? Because they seem to kind of die often. People tell me that they bring plants home and they can't get them to survive.
Well, the point is that you have to pick the right plant for the right place. So if you figure out, first of all, you need to decide how much light you have. Do I have good light? Which way does my house face? Which way does my window face? Do I have a north window? You definitely have low light, So you need to figure out what kind of light you have before you go out and purchase plant.
So getting directions of your house or apartment or wherever your light is coming in, you have to find out what direction that faces.
Correct. That's my opinion, yes. you need to know where that light's coming from. You know, what can my plant see? What kind of light are they getting? A ton of plants, you know, that like that low light, but there are quite a few to choose from, and you just have to choose carefully.
Well, that's so characteristics of plants. What would you say you're looking for when you're choosing a low light plant?
A low light plant usually is a foliage plant. It's not going to be one that has a ton of flowers on it. If it does, it's going to need more light than what you can give it.
Right.
If you only have low light. Big leaf plants, because they need to have big leaves to collect as much light as they can possibly get.
Okay. Large leaves.
There are variegated plants. You know, some of the pothos are variegated, but as a rule, bright white variegated plants, you know, plants with more than one color, are not going to be your choice.
Okay. And so does that even include the Sansevierias that have, you know, the lines through them?
Well, you know, I tell people Sansevierias, they are in the book in the low light, because they will survive in low light. You see them in low light corners, they are doing okay. They would really love to be in brighter light, but yes, choose ones that are less variegated.
Okay, so less variegated plants. Okay.
Yes.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. Low light, Sansevierias, peach lilies, ferns, aglaonemas.
So in your book, Grow in the Dark, Choosing and Caring for Low Light Plants, kind of other characteristics do you showcase in it? What do you educate on?
Oh, well, we're going to talk, you know, you're going to learn about all, you know, everything that you need to know to grow a plant. So how to fertilize it, water it, how to decide what light you have. I tell people in this book, pay attention to the plant tag that comes with your plant. If it just says I'm a house plant, well, I'm sorry about that. Because a lot of them do, that does happen. But if it has a specific picture and a specific plant on it, first of all, I tell people to Google it to make sure that the plant tag is actually what you have.
Because sometimes plant tags are a marketing sale, so they're going to tell you what they want you to know.
Right. And, well, sometimes you may just say Hoya, and you think, well, I have a Hoya plant, or I have a, you know, it may say Pothos. And in reality, if you Google it, if there's no picture on it, and you Google it, it may be a completely different plant because, you know, plant tags can get mixed up.
That's true.
But check the plant tag. It usually will tell you, I need medium light, I need low light, I need high light. If it's high light and you have low light, don't buy it. Don't buy the plant, you know. So that's one of the things I tell people. Figure out which way you're, you know, figure out your light, read the plant tag. I tell them how to fertilize and water and take care of.
Right. And so this just isn't your pretty coffee book, because I'm telling you, your photographs in the book are amazing. I love how you show people how to use low light plants.
Well, yes. We went to the lady that photographed, you know, did the photography. She's from Detroit, and she had done another big coffee table book about a project that took place in Detroit. And that was that's who we chose to do the photograph. And we found a place, an Airbnb in like a big loft.
Sure.
Around Detroit, and we had a great time. She did a wonderful job.
It's great. I mean, even if you're just looking for landscape design or for design tips on showcasing plants, your book is great. You also have instructions in there, again, to fertilize and how to take care of it. Do you talk about dividing them, and what if they outgrow their pots?
I guess I do. Yes, I did do that. I was like, sometimes, you know, the thing is with plants in low light, they're not going to grow as quickly as plants usually in high light. So
right.
You may not have to repot them, or they may not outgrow their home as fast as other plants. But I do show you how to, you know, up pot. You only go up one size when you up pot a plant.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go up three or four sizes, and it'll drown in the wet extra potting medium that's there. And also a drainage hole. I tell people, and I have a picture of it in there. Here's your drill bit. Here's your pot. And
right.
You can drill a hole in it if it doesn't have one.
Well, that's great. And you also talk about insect issues and disease issues.
Yes, I talk about different kinds of environmental issues. all kinds of, you know, the most common insects, the mealybugs, the scale.
This is a great book for even brides and for Father's Day and for students who are going away to college and are going to have their own little plant to take care of. So this is a great book. Where can they get it, Lisa?
You can find it probably if you're not at your local bookstore. Barnes & Noble carries it. You can get it on Amazon. But if you would like a signed copy, you could go to my website and order it. It will take you to my Etsy account, and I will sign it and send the book to you.
That is wonderful. So now, what is your website?
It is thehouseplantguru.com.
Thehouseplantguru.com. Don't forget the. Thehouseplantguru.com for your own signed copy, and you can purchase it right there off of your website. And a signed copy would be amazing. So tell us about your third book coming out.
I'm not sure how much I can tell you about it yet. But
okay.
It is going to be another, it's about houseplants, but it's targeting a different age group. So.
That's interesting. I can't wait to see that. Well, wonderful. Well, Lisa, I look forward to seeing you this summer. We're going to be together in September. And so thank you so much for coming on In Your Backyard. This is Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf, and her website is The Houseplant Guru, and her book is called Grow in the Dark, Choosing and Caring for Plants in Low Light.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Lisa, thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, hon.
Bye.
And it is just it's so beautiful. And if you go on Amazon, you can see a picture of it. You can buy a copy from her website. She will sign it to you. I am definitely getting this plant for Genevieve and Jeff. They have a ZZ plant that they've been babying, and it's doing so well, and it loves the dark. And now they'll even be able to have more plants. I'm so excited. A big thank you to Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf, garden communicator and garden author, best-selling books, Houseplants. You want to check that out. And we'll be back with more of In Your Backyard after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All-Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All-Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884.
Row by row.
And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. And a big thank you again to Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf. She is the houseplant guru. And you can go to her website, thehouseplantguru.com, and you can check out all of her best-selling books, and she will sign them and send them to you. And I will tell you, her encyclopedia, The Houseplant Encyclopedia, is just a great book, and also the Grow in the Dark one. Definitely getting several of those for family and friends. It makes a great gift for newlyweds that are moving into a new house so they can, you know, grow plants indoors. And then also for Father's Day, for that gardener or someone who is, you know, would like to grow plants at their office. It is a great book. So that was Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf, Grow in the Dark, Choosing and Caring for Low Light Plants. And you can check that out. Now, this is June. We are going to be very hot this month. What should you be doing in the yard? Well, we had a fertilizer ban go into effect June 1st. So you have to check with your county, or your local utility will be able to tell you. if you can use fertilizer. The thing about fertilizer that you need to know is that we should put fertilizer down when plants are growing. And summertime definitely is that time of the year. But because of stormwater runoff, okay, and people fertilizing at the wrong time or fertilizing too much or too often, we have to protect our water bodies. And so the stormwater runoff with the rains, you know, flushes that fertilizer back into the storm drains and into the streams and the lakes and the retention ponds. And you want to make sure that you're not fertilizing your turf if you've got a ban in your county. But otherwise, for your vegetables, your flowers, your palm trees, your trees that you've just planted for Arbor Day, you know, that are still young, you want to make sure that you are fertilizing. Follow the label. Never fertilize before a rainstorm. Okay, that used to be a habit. I remember growing up, oh, we got to get that fertilizer down. It's going to rain this afternoon. No, you want to wait and fertilize after the rainstorm and then follow the instructions. If it tells you to water it in, then you can control the amount of water. Okay, and that's very important for anywhere where you are living and fertilizing plants. You want to protect your water. And so that's going to help out. Now, this is the time of the year that the rain is coming, but you also want to make sure that your irrigation is set, that your rain shutoff device is working, so that if you see irrigation systems going on after it rained an inch the day before, then your rain shutoff device is not working. Now, there's reasons that we want to use it. One, you're going to save money on your water bill. Water is getting more expensive. And the more you water with utility water, your city water, the more your bill is going to cost you. So having a shutoff device is going to save you literally hundreds of dollars a year if you use it and it's set correctly. And I'll have people tell me that, Teresa, the shutoff device doesn't work. And that's probably true because you haven't fixed it or replaced it over the last 10 to 15 years. So it's been a state law since 1991 that if you have an automatic irrigation system, you have to have a shutoff device on it that will shut your system down when we've had enough rain. One, that saves you money, and two, that saves our aquifer water supply. It saves us from wasting water. There's no need to put it down. Just because it's hot doesn't mean you need to water. Your lawn should be able to go 7 days, 1 week without irrigation or rainfall. And if it doesn't, you probably have a spoiled lawn. This is the time of the year when we're getting frequent rainfalls that we can push the roots down. And maybe by the end of summer, you won't have to irrigate at all, that your landscape will be used and based on the rainfall. So that when we go into the fall, then as the temperatures cool off, then you're not going to need any water at all except for rainfall. So that's a good thing. You want to walk your yards on a regular basis, especially during the summertime, because problems can creep up quickly. Sod webworms usually arrive in June, and you can start seeing the little moths. I was at a client's house, and literally a cloud of moths flew up from the grass. And so I had to explain to her that she had sod webworms. Chinch bugs also are in the area, and they love lawns that are over fertilized. So that's one reason why you should always follow the instructions and not fertilize more than what you think. More is not better when it comes to watering or fertilizing. And then also, too, this month, you can add plants. With the rainfall, they're not going to get stressed out as much if you plant them in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, as we're going into dusk. They'll have overnight to kind of get through a little bit of stress, water it in well, and then just make sure it gets watered for a few days with hand watering so that it can get through that stress of transplanting. And it usually takes about 3 weeks to a month. Now, you never want to fertilize a transplanted plant until you see new growth. That new growth on the plant will tell you that it is surviving and it's taken root and it feels comfortable. Thank you very much for transplanting me correctly. And you can go ahead and fertilize it and give it what it needs if it needs that kind of boost. I will tell you, though, transplanting is tough right now. We did a transplanting in the early spring. I moved a Laura Petalum to a backyard, and it was doing good, but you know what? It never dropped those leaves. And even though I would scrape the bark a little bit, it would be green. Over the last few weeks, it has died on me, so I'm kind of bummed out about that. Transplanting is kind of a hard issue. You know, it depends on the health of the plant, whether you can get enough water to it to make sure it survives and gets through the stress of transplanting. But sometimes they just bite the dust, and this Laura Petalum did, and I'm kind of bummed out about it. This is the last month that you can prune your azaleas and camellias. You don't want to prune them after this month. You're cutting off the new growth. So really, there's not a lot to do in your garden except just walk it and make sure that no issues come up. Okay. Now, roses, you can always, you know, trim those back and remove the old flowers. And if it's leggy, you can cut it back a little bit. You don't have to cut it to the five-leaf stem. That's kind of a garden myth. I explained that in earlier programs. But if you have a roses, you want to feed them monthly. That Bloom Special is a good one. It's a slow-release fertilizer that you don't have to use as much. In fact, it's good for 4 months. And it also, you want to make sure that if you're getting a black spot, that you have good air circulation. Good air circulation means they're not cramped up against a wall, that they're not crammed up against other plants and other roses, that the air can pass through easily, and that you're very clean in your yard. We see a lot of black spot with the rainfall that we get here in Florida. Pick up all the leaves with black spot. It is airborne carried spores that spread it. And so if these leaves fall down to the ground, then what happens is with the rain splashes on these petals or the leaves, and then it jumps right back up onto the to the plant, it bounces back up, and it will spread it. So make sure that you're going through on a weekly basis and taking care of your roses. You don't always have to cut them, but you want to make sure that you're picking up any leaf litter that could have diseases in it. And then make sure you bring your roses inside. So it's, what I mean is cut them off and enjoy them if you have a cutting garden or if you have vases indoors so that you enjoy your garden. Planting a cutting garden is just a wonderful thing to have in your yard where you can decorate the vases of any guest bedrooms you have if they're coming and staying with you. If they're coming and staying with you in the summertime, then they really love you if they're family, because it coming here in the summer is quite a chore. You know, when they come in the wintertime, you know that they just think of you as a B&B. You know, it's good to see you, but we're going to the beach, we're going to the attractions. But when they come in the summertime, you want to make sure that they feel welcome, because this is a hard time to come to Florida. Also, too, this is the time of the year to divide any orchids and bromeliads that have started to decline. You know, bromeliads, once they bloom, once they get those bracts popping out of the center and they bloom their little flowers, then they are going to start to slowly, and by slowly, I mean it might take a year for them to die, but they will then go and start new pups. You can divide these pups and, you know, transplant them elsewhere and expand your bromeliad garden. I want to say thank you to Lisa Eldridge Steinkopf, garden author and communicator, best-selling houseplant expert, the houseplant guru. Her website, thehouseplantguru.org. She has a great blog. You can sign up for that. And also her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and her website. It's thehouseplantguru.org. Theplantguru.org, theHouseplantGuru.org. Thank you very much. Also, check out the Album Polacek Museum for their Precious Pollinators exhibit all the way through August 25th. If you'd like to take the tour, that's going to be on August 10th. You can sign up for that too as well. So, you know, you want to also sign up for my newsletter, monthly newsletter. It's free. There are no, I don't spam you. You get it once a month. It tells you everything you need to do in your yard. And if you missed the interview with Lisa or any of the past interviews on In Your Backyard or the shows on In Your Backyard, you can go to my podcast, which is on www.she-consulting.com, and you can listen to all the podcasts. Let your friends know, family know, let your neighbors know that, you know, that they can learn all about gardening in Florida, the land of sand. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. We are going to be back next week, Tuesday at 12 p.m. Remember, water is not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless thee.